Morning, everyone. Welcome to our Soul Survivor service this morning. Just a little bit about Soul Survivor for those of you who don't know what it is. It's a festival for young people that's run by a church in Watford. And it's a place where a lot of young people encounter God for the first time. And we all, I think, deepen our relationship with him. The week that we went to, there was around 8,000 young people there. And every day of the festival, there's morning and evening main worship. And there's like a talk in that. And then throughout the day, there's loads of stuff to do, seminars, cafes, shopping, basketball, that kind of stuff. But above all of that, it's a place where young people are often challenged and encouraged and healed, and their lives are often dramatically changed. And it's a place where we don't have to do anything, but we can just go and be in the presence of God and have a great time. So yeah, that's what we're sharing our experiences about this morning.
So you can see there's many of them up here. There's also a lot of them that aren't up here, because this year we took the most we've ever taken to Soul Survivor. We brought 22 young people for the first time. Yeah, that is incredible. And between Soul Survivor Scotland, Soul Survivor A, we were Soul Survivor B, 940 young people gave their lives to Jesus, which is amazing. And at the moment, it's the final week, it's week C, so there'll be more people coming to Jesus. So we're gonna hear from some of our young people this morning about what it was like, what they enjoyed, but how they felt God was speaking to them personally, because that's what it is about. It's about God breaking into our realities and changing things, because he does that, doesn't he? When we invite him in and when we get before his word, we are transformed. And so that's what we're going to hear a little bit about. So there's kind of three groups that came this year. There's what we're going to call the first timers, the second years, and the veterans, or veterans. How do you say it? Is there either way? Veterans? Okay. So the first timer. So Josh is in the middle here. Josh is new to church with his family. Josh, this was your first time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And how did you find it, and what did you expect it to be like?
Well, I expected it to be good, and I found it better than I thought, and I found it as a good way to be better friends with the church.
Yeah. And what was your favorite part?
When Ren Collective came, and the basement, which is a warehouse that opens in the evening, where there's a silent disco and loud music.
So there was a UV party one of the nights, right?
Yeah.
And then we put UV glow paint on us and partied. And then the next night was a silent disco, right? Does everyone know what a silent disco is? Okay, so we need to explain it. Who wants to explain what a silent disco is? Josh, do you want to?
It's, well, you have headphones, and there are two options of different musics you want to listen to. So there isn't actually any music unless you put headphones on.
So if you walked into a silent disco, the sound would probably be awful, because everyone thinks that they can sing like as good as the different channels that are being, on. And there's two different songs going at the same time, so you can imagine. And what I just wanted to pick out about Ren Collective, so the song we sang this morning called My Lighthouse, they wrote that song. But what I loved about when they led worship is they addressed the young people as church. So they're standing up there and they're like, come on, church, and church, stand together, and church, and I love that. It wasn't young people, it was church, because they are the church. Like, we're all the church. But I just thought that that was quite significant. Hi. And Josh, what spoke to you?
When Andy talked about not trying to have a good friend, but to be a good friend.
cool. And then you said about why is it important to be a good friend?
Because if you're a good friend to someone, they'll want to be a good friend too. And you could also, it could be a good chance to tell them about Jesus and encourage them to be a Christian.
So that's awesome, isn't it? Well done, Josh. So Joy, you're up next.
Yay.
You're not one of the younger ones of the youth, but it was your first time.
Yes.
And so how did you find it this year?
I would like to say it was an experience of a lifetime. There were so many memories made and funny moments that you can like remember forever.
Do you have a specific one? I'm putting in the spot here.
A specific one was when Stefan opened all the pepper and put it all on his spaghetti.
And it wasn't like cracked pepper, it was whole pepper balls, like peppercorn balls. Okay. And what was your, he didn't do that on purpose, by the way, which I think made it funnier. So what was your favorite part, Joy?
My favorite part was when everyone sort of came together in worship and the atmosphere in there was sort of amazing. It was indescribable, the place where you felt like home and you where you belong. Mm.
And what do you feel like God was saying to you or is saying to you now that you're back at home?
I feel like you're saying that Soul Survivor has changed me a lot because I feel more open about my faith and I can go and talk to people more about it and how I more or less have an opinion on why I go to church and why I want to go.
That's awesome, isn't it? Oh, well done, Joy.
So over to you, Elnie. It's not your first time, but it is your first time with us at the People's Church. So how is it different this year?
Well, I'm new to the church, so I didn't know people very well, but it gave me a chance to get to know everyone in the new church.
And just tell us a little bit about when you came to the church and who is here with you as your family.
I came to the church February this year and I came with my mum, dad, brother and sister.
And what do you sense God was saying to you over the time in Soul Survivor?
Out of everything and all the seminars, I think the one about friendship I could relate to the most because I'm going to a new school in September, so I think that's going to help me a lot.
Great. And over to you, Rosie.
Oh, before Rosie, just because we didn't plan on the twins being here, I don't know if you've noticed, but we've got twins up here, Brian and Melvin. So we're going to start with Melvin down on the end. So, Melvin, how did you find Soul Survivor? This is their first time, and they joined at a similar time, I think, as Elnie, maybe a few weeks before to the church. So, Melvin.
Yeah, Soul Survivor was definitely great. Yeah, it's a life-changing experience. Especially when everybody's worshiping and just those little things like praying before you go to bed, in the morning, do a little prayer for the day, and yeah.
Are you waiting for me?
Yeah, I am.
It takes me a while to catch up, I'm getting older. So what do you feel, because we spoke about this, didn't we? What do you feel like God was saying to you?
About friendship, leading on from what Josh said, about everybody here has friends they can lean on, you know. And what I felt like God told me to do was to be that shoulder to cry on, step on, and not necessarily look for a friend like to lean on, but be that friend to lean on. So, yeah.
Cool. And I can just give you some context to that talk, because a lot of them, that was a talk that stood out to them. And it was about Ruth and Naomi in the Old Testament. But there's this conversation that happens, and she says, you know, I'm going to go with you, stay with you, and die with you. And it was this picture of a commitment and a friendship of going with you, and how we choose our friends and how we choose to get close to. And a lot of that was looking at what we have in common with one another. And so those are the people that we go with, we do the distance with, we do the journey with. We find that our friends are the people that we have the most in common with. But then the second point was staying together. So when times get tough, when times get hard for one friend or the other, that we don't bail, we don't leave, but we stick it out and we stick in there and we encourage and we shoulder that. And then the last thing was dying together. And that's, to me, well, scripture, is dying to self together. And so it's this commitment and shared journey of following Jesus together. And so that's the talk that they're referring, because it comes up quite a bit. So just to explain a little bit. So Brian, do you want to share what it was like for you?
Yeah, it was a really good experience to be a part of. I met like new friends, and they sort of gave me advice on what to do, and they also gave me like a book, like they recommended me books to read about Jesus and sorry, I'm a bit nervous. They just gave me, they sort of gave me advice what to do and what you're gonna look back on this and see what you could do further on and improve in your life. So, yeah.
That's awesome. They were kind of put on the spot because we thought that they were going to be in Scotland this morning. So when they came in, we kind of asked them to join up here. So well done. So those are our first timers. Caspi's, you're going to lead the second years.
Yeah. So Rosie, this was your second year already. How was it different for you from the first year?
So obviously we're at a different venue this year, but then I knew everything a bit better, that like how it worked. So in the main sessions, there's, you start with kind of an introduction, then there's worship, then someone like gives like a talk, and then you worship again. So yeah, I kind of knew how that worked and who led it a bit better.
And what was your favourite part this year?
I just really liked all of it. So the actual sessions, the camping, all of the fun stuff to do like in the evening and all the seminars.
Great. And what do you feel like God was saying to you over this week?
Well, last year it was a lot about my fears, because I had quite irrational fears. And I've been trying to work on that through the year. And then this year, it was, again, like a lot of people about friends and trying to understand mine better and like become a better friend.
Awesome. And so, Grace, what changed from this year to last year?
Okay, so this year I felt like I was much closer to the rest of the people in the youth group. And I think that was mainly because I decided to try and step away from the like isolation that I was in and stop trying to keep myself to myself and try to like get myself more involved in taking like those little brave steps to try and talk to and be more sociable with people.
Awesome. And what has God been speaking to you about in this season of your life?
So, I really think that God's been talking to me about, like, even though things seem crazy and all over the place sometimes, He's always going to keep me in a safe, peaceful area, like, even when Things seem scary, he's still going to be looking after me.
And Grace, what's the scripture that God's just really laid on your heart? Because you have a really cool story about this.
So earlier on the summer, I had decided like to have a look through, and I found this one Psalm 23, which is, "Lord is my shepherd." And I was like, okay, that's quite a nice piece of scripture. And then at Soul Survivor, I kept coming across it. So first it was on my coffee cup, and it ended up in one as an example in one of the sermons as well. So I find that really funny. Yeah.
Grace had shared that she had, this verse was speaking to her, and then at the cafes there, some, I don't know if it's all the cafes, but they have scripture on the cups. And so it wasn't just like a random scripture. She got a, bought a hot chocolate?
Yeah.
And that scripture was on that cup.
Do you have anything to say?
No? Not yet? Maybe later. So we thought that that was really cool, Grace, that God used like a paper cup to speak to you. So we're going to move over to Angela. Where's Angela? Other side. Oh, there you are. So Angela is always full of fun. You like always see her with a smile on her face, and she's super sociable. So, and we love that about you. So what was your favorite part?
My favorite part was that there was lots more young people there. So you could like have different, so you could just like talk to other people instead of like people you already know. So like get to know other people. And like there was more unity with different groups. So instead of like four separate groups like doing something together, like everyone was playing like card games and swing ball as a whole church, and like we all made it a competition to win, which is really fun.
And just real quick, what was the main difference you felt from this year to last year? You're a year older.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, thanks, Angela. So, Natalie, you're the last one of the second years. So, how was this year different for you than last year?
I think this year, because we were a bit closer to all of the activities, and I was better acquainted with the event, and I was more familiar with what would be happening during Soul Survivor. I explored the site more, and I tried new things more, so I thought that was a bonus. Also, the talks felt slightly more applicable to where I am in my life. Some were last year, but I felt large majority of the sermons and the talks could be used in my situation specifically.
And what was your favorite thing to do?
Outside of all the talks, which were great, there was a live band in Cafe Uno, which is one of the places you can go in the evenings or during the day, just to sort of hang around. And they were very good musicians, and they played some familiar songs, and the environment was very sort of relaxed but upbeat. And I thought that was a nice area to go in when you just wanted to be around.
And what do you feel like God is saying to you, speaking to you, not just there? And I know with a lot of churches, Soul Survivor is like the ultimate high for the youth ministry for like the year. But it's almost like this attitude and approach is like, well, God only shows up and the Holy Spirit only shows up at Soul Survivor. And we don't believe that. Like, we believe in the same way with conferences and things that we go to. That might shape and frame our year, but God speaks to us all the time. He speaks to us at Soul Survivor, and he speaks to us every day when we get home. And so what was he speaking to you there, and how that impacts here?
Right. There was one seminar that was during the main event, one of the evening ones, I think, and it was about using the gifts God has, using the sort of blessings God has given us to reach out to people and to expand the kingdom and bring others into the church family. And I felt like that would be an important part of the year to come and also an important part of my life in the future. So I thought that talk really kind of spoke to me.
So on to the veterans now, and we'll start with Amy. What was your favourite part of Soul Survivor this year?
This year, I think just after the evening meetings and when we all sat at camp, there was one evening where a lot of us were sat together having quite deep conversations. I remember I was talking to Stefan especially, and I was kind of just like, some of the stuff he was saying, we all think about, like, you know, why is God here and like what's the purpose of everything, but he just said it in a way that I could understand, and I think that was quite memorable for me because I've never really spoken to the older people of the church. but I think it just, when we're all there together, it's kind of inevitable for us to all speak as a group. And yeah, I just really enjoyed talking to people that I hadn't really got a chance to speak to before.
And what did you feel like God was speaking to you about?
One of the talks in the arena was by Tim Ross, who a lot of us really liked and were excited when he would speak. And he did a talk on isolation that I think quite a lot of us can relate to. And he was just saying that God isn't enough. And that was quite a surprise to me at first, because I was like, but if he's the Lord of everything, then why not? But he put it in a way that we're surrounded by people all the time, and he's put people in our lives to enhance it and to guide us. And the way he put it was that we need God vertically, but we need people around us horizontally, and he's okay with not being enough. And I think that was really significant and something that I'll always remember in, you know, hard times, and I think that a lot of other people remember.
That's great. And what is one thing that you're taking away from this year?
So I was in the tool shed with Rosie, and I bought a book by Mike Pilavarci, and it's called Wasteland, and it's all about the desert. And what he means by the desert is times of trouble, times of, you know, feeling like the world's against us and that God's not with us and that everyone's against us, really. And it's the way that Mike put it was really something I've never heard before. And he just said that God designed that place for pain and for hardship and for any troubles, for him to be with us and just him alone. And yeah, I think something that I learned is in one of the seminars, that it's going to hurt more before it gets better. And just like physical pain, it's going to hurt more before it gets better. But when, like with mental pain and with spiritual pain and emotional pain, they're all the same, if you think about it. It's going to hurt more before it gets better. And I was really quite happy that a lot of the talks mentioned mental health and depression and anxiety, which has been recognised within recent years. And I hadn't really heard much from a God point of view. And yeah, I was really happy that they spoke about that. And it will hurt before it gets better. And I just want to encourage anyone who is going through tough times that it will hurt to get better. God isn't enough, but the people around us that he's put in our lives can encourage us, but there's things that they can't help us with, and there's things only God can help with. And with both of them, I think we can overcome anything.
Amen. And just to expand a little bit on the God isn't enough. What he was saying in that is that we need people too. We understand through Scripture the concept of grace, and we believe in faith over for that for our lives. But then people come into our lives to be the extension and the physical manifestation and body and to embody grace. And so I just think it's amazing that God gives us grace, but he puts people around us in order for us to tangibly experience grace. And I think between the two, that's how we have a greater revelation of grace, which is amazing because we do need people. And God is not on his own. He's in the Trinity, and he's also with us. So Lena, you're up. This is your fourth year now. How did you find it?
So yeah, I mean, every year has been amazing, but this year I feel like I came there in a different place in my life. I feel like I came there with more things I wanted, and it was definitely the best year yet.
And what was your favorite part?
So I've always found worship the best part. I mean, like thousands of young people meeting in one place in the presence of the Lord. Like the Holy Spirit moves in such incredible ways, and this year was no different. Like the different ways he moves and the different things that happen to people, it's just, it like strengthens your faith so much. Yeah.
And what do you sense that God was saying to you and is saying to you?
Yeah, so last year I kind of went there, and it was the first time where I felt like God properly spoke to me. So he told me through someone else that I had to kind of soften my heart, and I had to kind of take down all those walls that I had up and kind of open up to other people, which I've been doing over the past year. It's been great. But this year, with all the big theme of isolation and friendship, it was definitely kind of talking to me about how I had to deepen them now and kind of bring Jesus into those relationships I haven't done yet, so they're no longer surface level.
And Lena, do you want to just share the little moment that we had in the big talk?
Okay,
so the arena?
One of the nights, Mike, he called up people who wanted to kind of go into evangelism, and he called them up for prayer. And there were so many of them that kind of we wanted to go and pray, but we couldn't. There was no space. So we kind of stood there on the side. And then one of the ushers, she came and spoke to Shan. She's like, oh, can you come pray for this person? And she was like, oh, yeah. So then she was like, Lena, I'm dragging you with me. So she literally dragged me through this crowd of people to this girl. So we prayed for her. And then afterwards, we kind of spoke to her. We got to know her story. And it turns out she's a year above me at my school.
Out of 8,000 young people, we finished praying for her, and I said, what's your name? And she told me, and I said, where do you live? And she says, Warwickshire. And I said, okay, where? And she says, Stratford-upon-Avon. And I look over at Lena with a big old grin. And I'm like, Lena, what? Or I said, what school do you go to? Stratford Girls. And sure enough, Lena goes to Stratford Girls. And we had just been talking, actually, earlier that day about friendship. So I was like, it was such a moment, really, especially yeah. Because as I I grabbed her hand and kind of pulled her along, and I could feel a little resistance.
Just a little.
Just a little. But she did lean in, and God saw that and honored that, and I thought that that was amazing. So, and was there anything else that you wanted to share?
Yeah, so kind of unrelated, but one of the other big topics that kind of went throughout the whole week was shame and the fact that kind of lies are spoken over us and we speak lies to ourselves that really kind of put a wedge between God's promises and us. And on one of those talks, I kind of sat there praying. I was like, God, please just kind of break through these, kind of just get rid of them. And then that kind of later on, Stefan came to me in the camper where I was just chilling. And then he was like, I feel like God was telling me three things about you. One, that you're seen and not overlooked. Two, that you have gifts. And three, that you've kind of got the character to match those gifts. And I just felt like that was God silencing some of those lies. And that was definitely an answer to prayer.
Amen. Caspi, you're up. So Caspi thought when we started to prepare this that he was just going to be hosting. And then I asked him what God was doing in his life and where he's at. And actually, he asked me back. So he's going to share, and then I'm going to share. And then we're going to draw it to a close. So, Caspiano, how are you doing? Where are you at? What's going on in your life?
I'm good, thanks, Chelsea. What's going on in my life at the moment? I think God has led me to a place of vulnerability that I'm not really used to experiencing, especially boys my age don't really like to talk about being vulnerable and things like that. But yeah, especially with things like school finishing and adult life kind of right ahead of me, it sometimes seems a bit daunting. I don't really know what the future's going to hold or what I want to do with the rest of my life, but I think that vulnerability is actually a really good thing, and it's brought me to a place where I just feel really close to God, closer than I have ever felt before, and I'm just kind of leaning into what he has in store for me, and I'm just really excited to serve him, whatever that means for me.
So you're moving to Sheffield in 2 weeks?
Yes, I am.
And what are you going to be doing up there?
I am going on a kind of a gap year program where it's called Form, where they give young people some teaching just kind of to ground their lives in scripture and in what God is saying about us. And then I'll do 1 day of internship in the church a week, and that'll probably be in youth work. And then the rest of the time I'll just have a normal job in Sheffield and kind of, yeah, get used to living on my own and becoming an adult.
So just to bring the service to a close, I was thinking about all of the amazing talks we've heard on shame and on isolation and our need for community. There was one point that somebody said that, you know, resurrection is one thing, but freedom is another. I thought, oh gosh. So there were so many like amazing truth bombs that were dropped and that were incredible. And I started to think, oh, which one would I talk about? And so then Caspi and I, with some of the boys, we were talking about, well, what was God speaking to me? And there's a newish family in the church here, Mark and Kay. But I was over at Kay's, Mark and Kay's, yeah, and I was tired, and she said, you know, I just feel like I want to bless you somehow. She's like, how do I do that? And I'm like, I don't know. So we went upstairs into one of our rooms, and I noticed this book on the shelf called Hiding from Love, and I've been reading that since that afternoon. And I went down to the Rustic Bean, which I'm at quite frequently now that it's opened. And I was reading just about boundaries and how just the presence of both good and evil and just loads of different things. And I was walking up Parsons Street and I just felt the Spirit really speak to me, just drop into my spirit. And it's funny because I wasn't like, oh God, speak to me. I'm waiting at Parsons Street. And I felt God just say, you know, in friendship, do you have any friends where you hang out with them and every single time you hang out with them, they ask you to do something? And I said, well, no. And I was reflecting because Stefan and I, if you haven't noticed already, we're very different in just the way that we are. And Stefan reads the Bible and he's so good at this. He can read the Bible as just this story, this beautiful love story. And he does, and he reads it, and he reads commentaries for like hours every morning, like wakes up downstairs. That's what he's doing consistently. And he can read it and enjoy it as a story. Where I guess where I'm from and the way that I was discipled is that I read it and I feel like I have to have something to apply in my life to it. But if every time I'm going to the scripture and I feel like something needs to change, it started to make me feel tired. It started to make me feel like, well, why can't I just sit in the Bible and sit with the scripture and enjoy this love story over me? And so I was walking up and I just felt the Spirit say to me, like, do you have any friends where you go? And they always ask you of something. And I was like, well, no. And it was almost like, well, yeah, you wouldn't want to hang out with somebody that always every single time is asking. Like, why don't you just, do you have friends that ask you to do things, but you can just enjoy being with? Just enjoy hanging out, just sharing life together. And I don't know if it's because of ministry or leadership. I don't know how the balance gets tipped, but sometimes it does. And he's like, when did you stop and just enjoying me? Why do you feel like every time I come to you or every time you come to me, I expect something of you? Like, I love you. First and foremost, remember that. And remember what it's like to just enjoy me. And yes, there's going to be things I'm going to ask you to do. And yes, there's going to be things in your heart that I'm going to challenge you on. But actually, the foundation of this is love. So remember that. And to be honest, it was the most just freeing place for me because when we got to Soul Survivor, it was just like, that's what I all want them to experience too. So I could give you 3 points from what somebody else said, but I just have to own my own story. And so that's where I'll land it. So just a couple of things. Thank yous. So I just want to say a massive, massive shout out and thank you to the young people for going, for paying parents, for being open and willing to hear from God. And I believe God's going to honor you in the days ahead. And for parents for entrusting your kids to us 5 days, I cannot promise that they all had showers, but I do know that they were fed and watered and well looked after for. And for the church for standing with us and praying for us, we love you guys. And to all those who made cakes, we never ran out. And to the people who gave us money instead of baking, you'll be pleased to know that we spent it on cakes and sweets too. So thanks for that. And also to all the leaders and parents that joined us this year, we seriously cannot do this without you. Especially Sandy, Renata, and Moira. They are the glue that holds our camp together. Meals, they are prepping weeks and weeks and months at a time. And to Sarah Brown, who lends us the guys' camp kitchen. And the prep that goes into it, it's like a full-on mission. And they pay their way, and they take it on every single year. So I know Moira's not here today, and I know that Renata was working a night shift last night, and I know Sandy is in the room. But can we just give just a round of applause for just acknowledging them? So. So we're just going to watch this video on the screen, and then we'll be done. Yeah, well done, guys.
Hello, hello there. I'm standing here in my back garden. in order to give you some important news. Well, at least it's very important for us. And that is to tell you that in one sense, sadly, 2019 will be the last year that we will be doing Soul Survivor festivals. We've prayed and we've thought about this for many, many months, for a long time. And we believe that we're to lay it down and that God has said he's going to raise other things up. And we already are talking to good friends. And I can't wait in the summer of 2019 to tell you about some of the camps that are going to be happening, that are going to be fantastic, that I will come and visit and that we can commend to you. Also, I just want to tell you, we love you, we will continue to love you, and we're not retiring. God said to us at the beginning, I never said I will build my Soul Survivor, I will only build my church. And we as Soul Survivor exist for a season in order to serve the church. And after 27 years, next summer, he says, stop, because I want others to take it on. And so we just want to be obedient to him. Our Naturally Supernatural conference will also be coming to an end in its present form, but we're not giving up on the things that God's called us to, the ministry. We want to equip the church to lead spirit-filled lives. We want to continue to serve the church and model a way of doing church that is family. I invite you to join us this summer, 2018, and next summer. Bring all your friends to Soul Survivor A, B, or C, or Soul Survivor Scotland, or Naturally Supernatural, and let's have a party, and let's make 2019 one of the best years we've ever had. God has not finished with any of us. We're on a journey together, and let's celebrate his goodness and his faithfulness. See you then.
So next year is the last Soul Survivor. So there were 22 young people this year. We're praying for even more next year. So awesome. We're done. Last worship song. And yeah.
Before we do that there, and I know that I'm completely and utterly biased towards you, Shannon, but I think that we need to acknowledge the work that Shannon's been doing with our young people for, well, the best part of 5 years now. And I know the young people love her work. I know that we truly, deeply appreciate the way that she's come in and led our youth work, built the youth team, and invested into the lives of our young people. So I think we need to just really express our thankfulness and just honour you, because in moments like this, it's important to do that. Time has escaped us, folks, but I think that we need to pray together. I think that we need to pray together. We honour this man, Mike Pilavachi. He has been a real servant of the church, and it has come at a cost. He has laid down, I mean literally laid down his life for young people and for the church. And I wonder, we're going to let you release you in a moment or two, but Margaret, I wonder if you could perhaps pray for, would you perhaps just pray for us, for the youth team, for our young people, the young people of this town, and for Mike and for whatever's going to come next. Would you pray for us? And after Margaret's finished praying, then you're free to go. Thanks, Margaret.
Lord, I just want to thank you for every word that's been spoken this morning, for every young person. I want to thank you. The verse that comes to me straight away is, I know the plans I have for you. And sometimes it's very easy with scripture just to let them flow over your head and just be another verse. But Lord, I thank you that you know the plans that you have for Mike Pilavachi. You know the plans you have to build your church. You know the plans you have for us here in the People's Church, and you know the plans you have for the youth. you know the plans you have for Caspian and for all those that will follow him. And so we just want to thank you, Lord, that you do have plans. And all your plans are good, and all your plans have purpose. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing here. And we just pray for more of you, Lord. More of you in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You are an awesome God. And we just want to experience more of you here, Lord, here in this church. Amen.
Thank you, Margaret. It's time to retrieve your kids if they're in the Beck Hall. The band are going to play us out, but if you're really thirsty and need a drink, please feel free to go and get a drink. But do go and get your kids now if they're in the hall. God bless you, and we will see you next week, same time and place here at the People's Church. Amen.